Almighty God, you pour out your Holy Spirit, your grace, your undeserved love on all who ask. Deliver us now, we pray, also from cold hearts, wandering thoughts, so that with focused minds, kindled affections, we may now worship and thank you in spirit and in truth. This we ask through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. This Thanksgiving Eve, we follow the order of service as found printed this evening in the service bulletin. We begin, first of all, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Recognizing that we stand in the presence of God, we confess to Him. From John we read, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
From then the conviction of our hearts we confess together. Almighty God, merciful Father, we confess that we were conceived and born with sin. We further confess that we have, since birth, actively sinned against you by our thoughts, words, and actions. We are sorry for our countless sins, and we humble ourselves before your holy presence. Forgive us for Jesus' sake, and renew us by your Holy Spirit. God, the Father has indeed declared you to be not guilty for Jesus' sake. By his command and according to his authority, I announce to you his divine decree that your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, through whose kindness we have again received the fruits of the earth in their season, grant us ever to rejoice in your mercy, that great gift of your mercy, that neither prosperity nor adversity may drive us from your presence. This we ask through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We respond with our Psalm of the Day, Psalm 146, as found printed on supplement page 41. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Our first scripture reading on this Thanksgiving Eve is found in the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning there with the 11th verse. This is the familiar account of the 10 lepers, only one of which returned to give thanks to Jesus. Jesus commented on it. On which do you focus? On which do we always focus? Thomas is known as Doubting Thomas, despite the fact that all the other disciples doubted. Thomas later dedicated his life and, according to history, was martyred for his faith. We remember the bad things. Part of what we want to remember this evening also is to be encouraged. The fact that you are here this evening in God's house giving thanks lists you among the one. We read in Luke 17, beginning with verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he, Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his feet at Jesus, on his face rather, at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." We respond with the hymn verse as printed in the service bulletin. Second reading is found in Paul's first letter to Timothy, the 2nd chapter, the first 8 verses. "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good. And it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time." Here ends our scripture reading.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, peace be multiplied to each one of you, certainly three of God's greatest gifts for which we ought also to express our thanks. Multiplied to you in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Dear fellow recipients already of God's unlimited generosity, our text for this Thanksgiving evening is found also in Paul's first epistle to Timothy, the sixth chapter, in this reading beginning with the sixth verse. Now there was great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who is in his testimony before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly blesses us with everything to enjoy. These are the words of our God. They are thus, in and of themselves, gifts from our God, precious gifts that we ought to highly value. To prepare our hearts to hear and study these words as is God-pleasing, so we pray. Sanctify us by your truth. That is, by these words, your truth, set each of us apart that we might be dedicated to holy things. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. So maybe you've been in, I would guess you probably have, in this situation, so it probably won't take much imagination on your part, but picture a friend coming to you, and that friend expresses that he's just down. He's just demoralized. He's certain, and after talking to him, you're certain it's not anything physiological. He's not clinically depressed. He's not suffering from some sort of mental disorder. He's just down. What do you say to him? You see, you learn that all of his friends, his other friends, his non-Christian friends are telling him exactly what he expected them to say. And it didn't seem to be helping. They all seemed to try to cheer him up by pointing out all the things that his life still has to offer. In other words, all of them point to and use as their motivation selfishness and greed. In other words, cheer up. There's still more stuff you can get out of this life. There's great things out there. Or some variation on that theme. And yet he finds that just isn't really helping. He's still just down. So he comes to you, his Christian friend. What do you say to him? Interesting, isn't it? Christians can and do see life differently. The world sees it as you get everything you can out of life, and when you come to the point where you don't feel like you can get any more, then it's time to go. Then you pull the plug when your bucket is filled up, your list is completed. Christians, however, know that greed and selfishness are never the solution to anything. So again, what do you say? This evening, I would suggest you try this. Tell them, check your bank account. Bear with me. Because I would suggest that many of our friends, if you'd say that to them, say, I know, that's why I'm depressed. Until you start to figure out, define, understand what is in your bank account. See, a truly thankful heart doesn't look backwards, or doesn't look forwards, does it? And we've talked about this before, but we need to continually be reminded about that, because for the Christian, Thanksgiving has nothing to do with the future. In other words, it doesn't mean Thanksgiving is not about manipulating God with our thanks so that he continues to bless us in the future. Thanksgiving has to do with, and the correct posture is, the present and then looking backwards to accomplished things, to things that God has already given us. But this takes some thought. This takes some connection. Especially to recognize that when we do Thanksgiving correctly, one of the blessings that comes with it is optimism and confidence. And again, this takes some work to see how contentment, which we heard in a couple of our readings this evening, how contentment and true, valid Christian thanksgiving carries with it this added blessing of optimism going forward. Exactly, by the way, why we bring something like this up on an occasion like this Thanksgiving evening. Part of what we hope to accomplish, not just this evening, but going forward. Learning how to give thanks properly. And then to enjoy the blessings, the benefits that God wants to pile on what he's already given to us. You've heard it before said in a different way, and you could fill in the blank. People say there are two kinds of people in the world. My children got tired of hearing me say that there's those that ride on the wagon and there's those that pull the wagon. Which do you want to be? And why that is. We put it a little different way. There are two kinds of people in the world. Those that are content and optimistic, and those that are dissatisfied and pessimistic. Our text describes the first frame of mind with these words. Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, we can take nothing out of the world, but if we have food and clothing with these, we will be content. And then it described the opposite, the other kind of person, the other frame of mind. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is, and this is a good translation, not the root of all, but the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many pain. So they made their life miserable here on earth, and they ruined their eternal future. God doesn't leave it to our imagination as to which the right position is, which the God-pleasing mindset is. He goes on, but as for you, O man, he's writing to Timothy, and since it's recorded in God's word, you're supposed to hear it as he's writing to you. But as for you, flee these things. Flee the discontented, anxious, frustrated quest for stuff, and pursue instead righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. So the bottom line is that God has not called us to pessimism and dissatisfaction. He's called us to joyful thanksgiving and optimism. And again, that's easier said than done when life does what life is going to do, when life beats us up, stomps on us when we're down. How then do we get this sense of contentment, this joyful, thanksgiving-filled heart, and then how are we carried along by optimism going forward? Every single person here this evening can list countless examples of done deals, and that's what we're talking about when we talk about check your bank balance. Check your bank account. What's in there? Because again, remember, Thanksgiving is present looking backwards. And every single one of you, if you would just take the time, can come up with this inexhaustible list of done deals. Blessings that have already been given to you, that are already in your account. We'll name just a few, just in case we're still missing the point. Your spouse, your parents, your children, your friends. These are all, they've already been given to you. They've already been received. Your job, your house, all the food you've eaten your whole life through, your health, your clothes. More luxuries than the grandest king 1,000 years ago could imagine. A standard of living that's the envy of the world. I assume few, if any, of you walked here. You got in a nice warm car, maybe in a nice warm garage. You drove here in comfort. Just think of your life, all of the different things that God has already given you. To the extent then, he's so good at it that you just take for granted. There's always going to be food on the table. There's always more clothes in the closet than we can possibly wear. We can get rid of half of them and still have more than enough. Don't even get me started on shoes. Then how about the little things? The game that you or your team actually won at the end. Yeah, you know, no matter how bad my team is this year, I'm going to play some of those reruns. Ah, we won again. Never gets old. This is the sort of thing that we're talking about, the things that can't be taken away because they've already been given to you. Your whole life has been blessed up to this point. You can think back on those memories of your children, all those cute things they did, all the not-so-cute things that they did, your family life when you were gathered around this, and now they're grown, but they have their own little families, and they're all happy, and God gave them wonderful spouses, and just one thing after another. Already yours. In the bank. And yet somehow we still fall into that gloom, don't we? We still fall into that depression. Call it what you will, the doldrums where, all that stuff, but what about that? And what about that? And oh, look at the world. Oh, it's so bad. Woe is me. What do you do then? Read, if you think of it, when you get home, maybe tomorrow, tonight, read Psalm 77. So there's a psalmist who was in that state. He was in this funk because he looked at his life and the implication is things weren't going that well. And then he looked at the lives of the godless and everything seemed to be going their well. They had everything they wanted. They seemed to be happy. They're always doing stuff. What do I do? Here's his solution. This is what he did. He considered all this and he writes, "Then I said, I will appeal to this." In other words, this is what I'm going to do. I'll think about the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. His solution was correct thanksgiving. His solution was to stop and not look at what others have, not look at what their lives seem to be. It's to stop and look backwards and think about all the things that God has done, all the demonstrations of his preservation, all the demonstrations of his provision, all the things that he's done, his, our entire life. And the pessimism, the gloom, the frustration can't stand up to that. Because he came to the inevitable conclusion that the God who did that in my life, the God who brought me and blessed me to this point, can be trusted to do the right thing. And again, what do you and I tend to do with that? We tend to say, oh, yeah, that's great, and it's Thanksgiving, so we're going to think about all the things that God does, and there's so many more, but we'll try to gather them all together, and we'll just try to be thankful, but, and then what? We find ourselves quicker than is even conceivable to us, blowing that off or taking that for granted, and then we look at, oh, yeah, but that's a problem. Oh, and I don't have that. And, oh, I'd like to have that. And, boy, that's a nice truck. Oh. Why doesn't God give me what he gave them? And then worse, we get into this funk that, yeah, this is my life, and it's not really going to get any better, so I'll just have to, I guess, run on the clock. And, oh, well. You start to wonder, why doesn't God give me everything I want? Well, let me ask you this. Jesus describes himself not just as a shepherd, but as a what kind of shepherd? A good shepherd. The good shepherd. Meaning, he doesn't just sort of take care of us. He takes care of us perfectly. He takes care of us as only God can. Now ask yourself this. When you were a child, how many things did you want that wouldn't have been good for you? That's a big list for me. And my parents said no. And I wasn't real happy at the time, but afterwards, oh, thank you, Mom and Dad, for saying no all the times you did. All the times you steered me away from what I thought I had to have. Should we expect anything less from our good shepherd, from our heavenly Father who's infinitely wise, who knows the end of the thing because he's eternal as well as he knows what's already happened? He's going to say no. And when we realize God in his infinite wisdom said no, that's also part of the blessing. That's also something that we give thanks for. It also is it's supposed to be a source of comfort and optimism. And there's two reasons for this. So there's two points we want to bring up. First, optimism with the psalmist. The God who's done all this for me, and we haven't even touched on faith, the God who has blessed me materially with all those things, who I've never wanted in my entire life. Well, there's things I wanted, but I've never needed anything, lacked for anything. The God who did that, the God who called me to faith and has preserved me in that faith up until this point, not only can this God be trusted to supply what I need, but then we can finally get to that point that Jesus advocated when he said, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't be anxious about anything. Sufficient unto the day is the trouble thereof. We can not only be optimistic, but we can put the future into autopilot, which is what Jesus advocated. We can trust that the one, when we're looking at with thanksgiving what we've been given, how he's protected, preserved us from who knows what, how many accidents, how many diseases, how many things that we never even knew, we can trust him. In fact, we need to ask ourselves some questions. What has God ever done in the past to deserve pessimism from me? When has God ever demonstrated a lack of love toward me? When has he ever failed to provide me more than I need? And when has my God ever let me down? So at this point, if you're like me, when you really start to think about how good I have it, how good we have it, how richly our God has blessed us, the next thing I have to deal with is guilt. Should we feel guilty that our God has blessed us? Our text actually talked about this too, didn't it? In the last verse. As for the rich, and by the way, you're in that category. What you have and the standard of living that you and I have right now, I don't care what your annual income is, the standard of living we enjoy would make us historically the richest of the rich. So listen to this as speaking to you. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, to be proud of that, as though they did it instead of they are blessed by God because of in that, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of those riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. It's hard for Christians, isn't it? It's hard for us to actually just, without guilt, enjoy the good things God has given us. But that's exactly what he tells us here. He gives us these things to enjoy. Now, obviously, we're mindful, or we're supposed to be mindful of those who don't have enough. We're supposed to have hearts of love, looking out for the needs also of others. But there shouldn't be guilt in this thank you God enjoyment of what he's given us. You know the best part of all this? We haven't even gotten to the best part yet. We haven't even really gotten to the greatest aspect of that in the bank account that's ours. And that's that our sin debt has already been paid. It isn't as though it needs to be, or as we go, it will be paid. It's done. That full and complete forgiveness for every sin was completed on Good Friday when Jesus said, "It is finished," and gave his perfect life and innocent death. The full, complete, whole, total debt of sin, the sins of the world, was paid in full. This isn't something that will be declared or will be enacted at some point. God the Father declared that payment to be full and complete when he raised Jesus from the dead on Easter Sunday. He further proclaimed it when his Son ascended into heaven. That which is a failure, that which is corrupt, that which is sinful, could not abide in the presence of God the Father in heaven. Jesus, at his resurrection then, the very fact that he rose and returned to heaven tells us he succeeded. And his message was to give his life as a ransom for sin, all sin. No one can take that away from you. It's an accomplished fact, declared, sealed, decreed by God to have already taken place. The debt for your sins is forgiven. Care what sin you put in that list. All sins in that list. And it's a big, ugly list. All have found perfect forgiveness in the sacrificial death of your Savior Jesus. Truly, God has been good to us. So then we end where we began. What do you say to that demoralized person? What do you say to yourself when you're in that state? Check what's in your bank account. Check what's already been done for you. Look at how your God has blessed you. The rest of your life, you can then have optimism that this same God who's done all this will continue that. Doesn't mean it's not going to be easy, that will always be easy, that there's not going to be difficult times. But the same God who got you through all those other difficult times and taught you thereby can be trusted to get you through whatever. Because he promised, no one can snatch you out of my hand. No one can take away this love that I have for you, demonstrated most clearly in Christ our Savior. Look at what you do have. Give thanks to God for it. And then know that He'll bless you even more with that contentment, that optimism that He wants you to have. Amen. Please rise. And may this peace of God, this peace plan that God devised to put our sins on His Son, peace of God shall guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Create in me.
I invite you to turn now to the bulletin insert, Thanksgiving Confession of Faith, as we give voice to that faith that resides in our hearts. I believe in the God who gives every good and perfect gift, and offer Him now my thanksgiving. I believe in God the Father, who created the universe, who sustains the universe, and who gives us life. I believe in God the Son, Jesus Christ, who has entered our world, taking upon Himself our human flesh, whose perfect life, offered on the cross, is the full and complete payment for my sin, who rose from the dead on the third day, who ascended into heaven, and there lives eternally with God the Father, speaking to the Father on my behalf, who will return on the last day to judge the living and the dead. I believe in God the Holy Spirit, who even today calls, gathers, and enlightens the whole Christian church on earth, and preserves me day by day in the Christian faith. I believe in and am most thankful for the forgiveness of sins. I believe that all who die in the Christian faith will, by grace through faith, spend eternity with God. Thanksgiving forever in our hearts. Amen. Let us pray. O Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God of heaven and earth, you have graciously, lovingly preserved and sustained us to this day. You have blessed our plans and our labors far beyond what we deserve. The sunshine, the rain, the soil, the seed, all are yours, and you have blessed our use of them, giving us again bountiful harvests from gardens and farms. In all professions, you have been present with your guidance and your open hand of blessing. In our individual lives, you have encouraged, sustained, and protected us. We have lived as off the fat of the land. Our granaries are filled to overflowing year after year. Our storehouses bulge with the excess of harvest. Our tables are covered with good things to eat. We must surely concede that we have not lacked those things that are necessary to our lives. We thank you. We praise you for all this evidence of your loving kindness. Teach us to dedicate our lives to you, that in all that we think, say, and do, we may conform to your holy will and give glory and thanksgiving to you. Do not count against us the times when we were poor stewards of your blessings, idle workmen in your kingdom. For the sake of Christ's blood and righteousness, forgive all of our sins, all of our shortcomings, all laziness, slothfulness on our part, that nothing may hinder us from inheriting the best and richest of all your blessings, eternal life in heaven. We pray also for your continued blessing, that you would give us especially the gift of the Holy Spirit. Fill our lives with your Spirit, who alone can lead our hearts in the right path. So we will come to love the gospel of our salvation, pursue what is profitable to our faith, and avoid everything that could bring us harm. Fill us with that Holy Spirit. We also earnestly desire the gift of contentment, that we may learn to use and enjoy what we have and not sin by coveting more. O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let not our song of thankfulness for all your kindness become a dirge of ingratitude and complaining. We ask all of this of you in the name of Jesus, whose nail-pierced hands are ample evidence that he was delivered up for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Hear us as that Son of yours taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.